You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
And good morning. The scripture reading today is at Romans 15, verses 8 through 13. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, "For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name." And again he saith, "Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people." And again, "Praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people." And again, Isaiah saith, "There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." And Father God, we just ask for your blessing on this, the reading of your holy word. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, for his sake. Amen.
Well, it looks like Sherry's worked well as an incubator. And now Derek's turn is to suffer the consequences of these viruses. As I said to Derek, you know, you can take antibiotics and they'll kill off the secondary infection, but your own body's going to have to deal with these viruses. And it's got to come to terms with those. And so the healthier you can be and the better foods and substances you can put into your body, the better. Strengthen up those immune system that you have. Okay, let's begin with a word of prayer. Our God and Father, we thank thee for this book which has been preserved for us, and we ask that as we go through this subject today concerning the 12 tribes and the ministries of the Apostle Paul, we would be built up in thee and better equipped to serve thee in the days, weeks, months and years ahead. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, now, last time we looked at a number of things, mostly out of 2 Timothy. And 2 Timothy is a great book because basically it's giving you the last will and testament of Paul. And he's really talking about a time when all in Asia had forsaken him. He's left by himself. And yet he has written this most encouraging letter to Timothy. Now, the other thing that I think needs to be pointed out is that when you write a letter, as Paul did, you are not writing something where you write things down and you look at it and, "Oh, I don't like that." Rather, Paul is there and he's dictating words, and these are written down. And at the end, what he'd do is he'd put some sort of signature at the end. But essentially, it's written by someone else physically, and he is simply speaking these words out, and they're being recorded. Now, when you consider that there is this great structure, a literary structure within these epistles, so you can see the hand of God working on these people, such as the Apostle Paul, because it's not only Paul, it goes right throughout the scriptures. And this is one of the marks of inspiration that you can find in the Bible, and it's a tremendous thing. If you've got a companion Bible, you know that Mr. Bullinger did a great work in structuring everything and putting down these various structures that he found, and they are great help. Well, we looked, let me just review a few points with you before I move on. In 2 Timothy, let's open our Bibles up to 2 Timothy chapter number 1. And in here we have got this passage in verse 13, "Hold fast the form of sound words." So, you know, one of these little fill-ins here, "Hold fast the form of sound words." Form. And this word form we need to think about, because it's quite interesting, isn't it, that he says hold fast the form of sound words. He doesn't say hold fast the sound words. He says hold fast the form of sound words. And this form is something that I think we need to appreciate, and we need to teach, and we need to let especially Christians and new Christians know about. And he goes on and he says, "which thou hast heard of me," that's Paul, "the prisoner, in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus." That good thing, the faithful deposit, that good thing which is committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in thee. And here is the faithful deposit. Paul was given this. He had the form of sound words. And this faithful deposit is then given to Timothy, and he's asked to hold on to it. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. And here you've got two representatives of the apostasy. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. Many Christians today are ashamed of Paul's chain. They will not stand fast by Paul the prisoner. They will not declare the revelation of the mystery given to Paul the prisoner. They will not show forth his distinctive ministry. Onesiphorus means profitable. It means that. That's what his name means. And if you want to be profitable as a Christian, then you need to understand about Paul and his chain, Paul the prisoner. It says, but when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently. He sought me out. What did he do? He sought out Paul the prisoner. That's what we need to do, my friends. And we need to do so diligently, carefully, prayerfully. And it says, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. And this is a great reminder to us that we are running a race, and we need to be thoughtful about how we do so, and putting into place God's will, because at the end of it, there are going to be rewards. Now, there is another passage, so that was important, right? That's the important thing about names, about Paul's prison ministry. It brings out the fact that we have a ministry that was given to Paul and passed on to us ultimately through these words which we are reading. If you look on down in chapter 2, it talks here about rightly dividing the word of truth in verse 15, surrounded about by these problems, unhealthy things that are going on. And in verse 17, and their word will eat his doth a canker, that's gangrene, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Hymenaeus, the god of Hymen, who was the god of marriage, and Philetus, beloved. This Hymenaeus, you see, this is someone who is interested in gathering people around him. And that's what happens. People will often gather people around them and teach a false doctrine, and they will build it up and protect it so that various kingdoms arise. We find this in Christianity today. And it says in verse 18, who concerning the truth have erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. What happens is when people don't rightly divide the word of truth, there is an overthrow of faith. Ultimately, you might get a ministry where lots and lots of people are coming in. Oh, it's a big show. Yes, it's big stuff happening. But the reality, if there is not a building up of dispensational, doctrinal understanding this faithful deposit that was given to Paul the prisoner, if you do not diligently search out him, then in the end there will be this overthrowing. There will be wrong doctrine given. And there will be a waste in the end. So there's a lot of things in here in 2 Timothy that we need to remember. One more thing before I get into my sermon proper is this passage in Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter number 1 and verse 15. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, and here he goes, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. He ceases not in this. He does not stop. Cease not. Does not stop to give thanks. And he makes mention. Here is this intercessory prayer that Paul is giving. that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give. Now notice the words, may give. Paul uses an optative here. May give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Well, this means it's possible that people will not get this. It says, may give. May give. He prays. He does not stop in this giving thanks. And he makes mention in his prayers concerning the Ephesians that God, the Father, would give this spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Here is the thing that we must pray for. You want to know what you should pray for in this age? Here it is, my friends. Here is something that we must pray about constantly, carefully, diligently, that God the Father would give a spirit of wisdom and knowledge in the revelation of Him. It's revelatory. You see, we do believe in a gift. Here it is. People say, oh, well, you know, you guys over there in North Side, you don't believe in the gift. No, we believe in the gift. We believe in the gift. And you don't have it. And we're praying that you will receive this gift, that God the Father would give it to you. And that's how prayerfully I think we need to approach this. I want to begin a series of talks on the ABCs of right division. Now, Derek said he'll give me all of February to do this. So, in the month of February, hopefully, God willing, we will begin a series of talks on the ABCs of right division. You've got some great material here in book form, and they are, you know, like masters and PhD level. But what we really need, I think, is we need, for people who are new to this, they need to understand the basics, the basic things. And this would help them. And once they can get the basic things, they can take a walk, and after that they can get into a bit of a jog, and after that they can start to run. You know? It's like, you know, feeding children. You don't want to slap down a piece of steak straight away. You want to, you know, give them a bit of milk, and then off they go. More stronger meat later on. Okay. So what we're going to do now is, I've got this talk. It's called The 12 Tribes, Paul and Paul. Okay, so that's my talk. That's the title of it. And the 12 tribes, you know, the 12 tribes are a key phrase. And they appear in the Bible 10 times. There are 10 times when the phrase 12 tribes appears. 12 times. And I'm not going to go through all of them, but there are 5 in the Old Testament, and there are 5 in the New Testament. If you know anything about numbers in the Bible, immediately lights are going on. Right? 10 is generally associated with the Gentiles. And 5 is the number of grace and death. 5. 5 in the Old, 5 in the New. Gentile number. How the Gentiles come in with 12 tribes? I mean, 12 tribes, that's Israel, and the Gentiles are different from the 12 tribes in Israel. That's by definition. So how does that work? Why do you think perhaps is this connotation of Gentiles and Israel? Well, the key to this is found here in Genesis chapter number 12. Just have a look at this. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now, when I got saved, as I said last time, I knew nothing about what I'm showing you. And for the time that I've been in church up to that particular occasion, nothing of this was taught. Nothing. Zero of what I'm showing you was taught to me. And I think by the time we're finished today, The fact that these things were not taught to me is proof positive of the working of the enemy within the ranks of professing Christianity. The fact that that's not taught, when it's manifestly, clearly so, is proof positive that Satan is at work. Let's have a look at Genesis chapter number 12. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now, Paul in Galatians refines a lot about this and talks more about it, but I want you to see in context that the nation of Israel was to be a blessing, and through it, instrumentally, God would channel his blessing to all the other nations. In other words, the nation of Israel was to be the salt of the earth. So it's not surprising then that we find passages in the Bible where you've got Israel and then you've got at the same time some connection with the Gentiles. Let me just show you how this works. Look at a passage over here. It's in Deuteronomy. How do these names come about? Deuteronomy. Deutero. And Nomi from Nomos. So that's second. And this is the law. So Deuteronomy, the second giving of the law. Right, that's how the Greek name comes about. So Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse number 8. When the Most High divided to the nations their inheritance, when he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. He set their bounds, he divided them, he set their bounds according to the number of the children of Israel. And just go back now to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter number 1. And we'll read here in verse around about 5, I think it is. Let's have a look at it. It says this. And all the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was in Egypt already. 70 souls. That's interesting. 70. Just go back a little bit into Genesis. And let's back that up a little bit more. Genesis 46 in verse 27. Let's have a look at that. It says this. And the sons of Joseph, which were born him in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. 60 plus 10. 70. 70. And if you go back into Genesis chapter 10, there you get, isn't that it? You've got a 10 there. It's got a number to do with the nation. There you've got the listing of the 70 nations. So when Israel comes out of where they were and into Egypt, there are the 70 souls. All there ready for the 70 nations. That is, if you were to draw a picture of this, you'd have, this is the scene, if you like. Here we have Israel. And round about are all these 70 nations. And the function and purpose of this holy nation was to be instrumentally the channel of blessing to all the nations. That was their function. That's how God had separated them off. And he gave them a Levitical priesthood, and they gave them all of these dietary laws that would make them a separate people, so that they would be a kingdom of priests. A kingdom of priests. We always think of Israel and Judah, oh, there's the tribe of Levi. Yeah, but the whole kingdom was to be a kingdom of priests. They had this function of being this mediatorial kingdom to take the understanding of God to all the other nations. Do we have evidence of this? Well, we've got some pretty good evidence of this in the minor prophets. Jonah, very disobedient salt. He was supposed to go off to the Ninevites. He didn't want to do it. But that was part of their job, was to bring the truth of Yahweh to all those other nations. Now, unfortunately, Israel was disobedient. And we've got the account of all its disobedience right through the Bible. Now, when you come to the time of Jesus, go across to Romans 15. Paul talks a little bit about Jesus and his earthly ministry. So go to Romans 15, and let's have a look at this. Romans chapter 15. And he says this in verse 8. He says, "Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers." Okay, so in his earthly ministry, when we look at the Lord's earthly ministry, going back here, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, you find in those records the ministry of the Lord Jesus. And what was he? He was a minister of the circumcision. Now, not only that, but he was there confirming promises made to the fathers. He was a minister who was doing those things in confirmation of promises made to the fathers. Very clearly, he was going to the Jew. Now, let's sort of back that up a little bit too. Let's go across to the book of Matthew and chapter number 10. So this is like a little prequel to the beginning of our talk on the ABCs of right division. Let's have a look at Matthew chapter 10, verse 1. It says, "And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease." Now, it's very clear, isn't it, that this is what he did. One of the things that we, as people who are rightly dividing the word of truth, one of the properties of this is that we get our Bible back. We can believe it. We don't have to say, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, manner of sickness, all manner of disease." And really in our hearts we're saying, "But we don't see that happening today." And therefore there's a doubt in our minds about the veracity of what we're reading here. But once we've got right division straightened out, we say, "Yeah, no, I believe that completely. I understand that and I believe it. Totally believe it." Now the names of the 12 apostles are these. And he goes through and he gives their names. Judas Iscariot is in there. And then in verse 5, "These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, Go to all the Gentile peoples." Not in a King James Bible. Now, if you've got a new international version, it might say that. All right? But in the King James, and the Word of God says, "Go not into the way of the Gentiles and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Uh-oh. Well, you know, hey folks, that's a ministry that's confined. You as a Gentile, if you try and put yourself in there is no way you can do it logically. You would have to break logic to put yourself in there. You're not in there. And yet, what do we get people trying to do? They're trying to resurrect things that are not resurrected. They are trying to breathe life into things which are now dead. Is that not true? We can't get back in here for two reasons. Number one, it's time past. Number two, we're Gentiles. I'm sorry, my friends. That is logic. That is truth. And we need to hold fast to truth, because the truth will set you free. Right? And that's what we're going to do. We're going to follow this logic all the way to the end. And we will hold to the logic no matter where it takes us. We will hold to it. And it doesn't matter what tradition gets kicked. We'll kick it, man. Right? Right where it needs to be kicked. You with me with this? Yeah, we're going to take it all the way we can. Now look at this. I want you to find another passage with me, which is in chapter 19, I believe it is. It's the same book, Matthew 19, and verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Oh, why were there 12 disciples? There is no doubt at all why there were 12. Because there are 12 tribes, 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That's why there were 12 disciples. Very Jewish. Can you put yourself in there? No, you cannot. Well, what else can we find about this? Well, if you look up these 12 tribes, the last reference is right in Revelation. We haven't got enough time to go through all these details, but I'm going to show you some things, right? Just as a pointer. Look at Revelation 21 and verse number 12. And had a wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. When the New Jerusalem comes down, it's got the name of Israel on it, man. And if you want to learn about a hope which is to do with the Gentiles, you're not going to find it here. You're not going to find it in the book of Acts. Not uniquely to the Gentiles. The Gentiles get in, yes. But they get in on a hope which was the hope of Israel. And you'll find that during this time, as I've pointed out before, Paul wrote epistles. I believe 7 of them in here. And in here, since he wrote during the time of the Acts, the doctrine cannot escape the book of Acts. You know, people are strange, aren't they? They say, oh, well, you know, these epistles are written in here, but we're going to take these and we're going to take them all the doctrine there to ourselves. Well, wait a minute. These were written in this time, during the time of the book of Acts. Therefore, their context cannot escape the context of what's going on when they were written. That's the book of Acts. And so you'll find in Galatians, for example, the New Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all. Right? And we know what's on the New Jerusalem. The 12 tribes. It's got to do with Israel. It is the hope of Israel. Well, then where are we going to go to get our hope? The hope that is uniquely ours. Well, you have to go and find
this guy, Mr. Paul, Mr. Oram, you've got to find Paul the prisoner. Because as Onesiphorus found out, after diligently looking for him, he is the one that's with the faithful deposit. He has got the truth for us in this age. And it doesn't matter what you say, man, it's not going to change the facts. You can get some real smooth preachers. And they're out there, aren't they? Woo! Man! Man, I'm just about mesmerized when I listen to these dudes. They are smooth. They look smooth. Their every movement has been planned. You know what I'm saying? Everything's there. But have they got the truth? No, they don't have the truth. It takes some mongrel, barbarian, roughneck like me to come up and give the truth. You know what I'm saying? What we need today is the truth. And people, I believe, are getting sick and tired of all the slick stuff anyway. You know, really what they want is the truth. They want the truth. And it's time for us to bust through all this. We need some rough people out there now. You know? Need some rough people on the TV, rough people on the radio that are just going to say it like it is and say, no, that's rubbish. Well, how do you say it in America? That's garbage. All right? That's trash. We want the truth. We want it. And we want it now. Now, I want you to go back. So, what am I doing here? I'm trying to clarify a few things. I'm trying to show you that, okay, there was a place for Israel. And Israel was to be the mediatorial kingdom. And Israel was present. God was dealing and going to the Jew first, uniquely and only to the Jew here. Why, you know the story of the Syrophoenician woman. You know all about her. And she has a daughter grievously vexed with the devil. And what did Jesus say about her need? Well, it's not right. It's not meat to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Little puppies. Where are the puppies? They're under the table, truth, Lord. Dogs that are under the table. And they take the crumbs that fall from their masters. Who was the master? The master was the nation of Israel. And all the Gentiles could expect were crumbs. Now, if you don't rightly divide the word of truth, all you're going to get is crumbs. Crumbs. That was a good meal. Don't think so. What you need is a full steak prime rib. Is that right? Yeah. You're all meat eaters here, right? Thick prime rib. You cut that baby open, still bleeding in there. Okay. We want a real meal. We don't want the crumbs. Well, if you want the real meal, then my friend, you're going to have to get out of here. And you're going to have to get out of here. And you're going to need to go on to perfection, not go back unto perdition. That's what the preachers are trying to tell us. Let's go back. Let's go back. Let's go back. When Paul says, let's go forward. Let's go forward. That's what this country needs, right? I'm getting sick and tired of all the pessimism. We need to go forward. We need to face the facts and we need to go forward. Right? That's what we need to do. Now go back to Romans. We'll go to Romans. Romans is an epistle which finds its place in the book of Acts. You say, how do you know that? Well, let's prove it real quick, okay? Let's prove it real quick. Look at Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. Now, I've got all these fancy notes. I thought, oh, this time I'm going to write them all out in Word, you know, and they've got little sections and subsections, and they've, you know, got all these goodies here. Doesn't work for me. You know, it's got to be in here. It's got to flow. So look at this. Romans chapter number 1. Romans chapter number 1. And it says this in verse number 1. Paul. Oh, that's a good word. Paul,
a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. People who do not rightly divide the word of truth will say that the mystery is the gospel. They say that. Oh, the mystery of Ephesians 3 is the gospel. Read on, next verse. Look at the parenthetical thought concerning the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. Well, wait a minute. The mystery that Paul talks about it in prison says none of the prophets knew about it. So how can the gospel of God be the secret? How can it be? This contradicts that. Sorry, got a brain, got logic, that's out. Will not work. That's gone. It says this, verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." That's good. But what about the next portion? To the Jew first. Why does it say Jew first? Because that's what Acts is all about. To the Jew first. God had not finished with the nation of Israel. And what he did was, he was dealing with the people in the land here. And now through the book of Acts, he's dealing predominantly with the Jews in the dispersion. Through Paul the prisoner. Oh, through Paul, the one who was largely free. And later on, a new ministry was given to Paul the prisoner. Look what it says. It says in verse 16, "To everyone that believeth, great, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." So, of course, the Gentiles get in here and they are used to provoke Israel to jealousy. That's their place of entrance there. Now, I want to do something else here which I think is interesting. And that is, I want you to see more of the ministry of the 12 by going to Matthew chapter 1. This was something that I learnt some time ago, and it still is remarkable to me, I think. Because look at Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1. You know, when you read the Bible, sometimes you just sort of, oh, well, you know, you're not thinking. You've got to stop that. You've got to start saying, well, these are the words of God, and they are preserved. It's the word of God as a total, but these are the very words of God that are being preserved for us. Let's read. "In the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." Okay. No big deal. Then verse 2, "Abraham beget Isaac, and Isaac beget..." And that goes on down, and then you come down further, it says in verse 5, "And Salmon beget Boaz, Rachab, and Buz beget Obed and of Ruth, and Obed beget Jesse, and Jesse beget David." Oh, yeah, okay. And then as you come down in verse 16, "And Jacob beget Joseph, and the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So all the generations from Abraham to David, 14. David unto the carrying away into Babylon, 14. And from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ, 14. Okay. But look at the, from verse 2 to verse 17, you have a chronology that starts back in time and then brings you forward to Christ, isn't it? That's the chronology. Back in time and brings you forward. But look at the first verse. "The book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham." There's no problem with the logic, but you notice that David gets the mention first, right? Then comes Abraham. But chronologically, we know it's the other way round. And this genealogy, the rest of the genealogy follows that. It starts from way back then, takes you forward. But the very first verse, the emphasis goes David, and then comes Abraham. Jesus is the son of David, first of all. Then he's the son of Abraham. The son of David as a king. The son of Abraham as the sacrifice. Right? Okay, let's see if that works. Now, there are two time periods in here. Look at Matthew 4, verse 17. Look at this. There are two time periods that mark off this.
We're trying to learn more and more about what's going on with the Lord's ministry. Because by understanding what went on, we can start to understand how it is that Israel could be judged and what happens to the Gentiles when Israel gets judged. That's what we're trying to learn. He says this, "From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" From that time, there is a time in your Bible. We've got to acknowledge the time. Here is a time. And what is it? It's preaching. The kingdom of heaven. Son of David. Right? That's the first thing. He is going to announce himself as Messiah. The rightful offspring of David, who is bringing forth the kingdom to Israel. Okay, that's good. That's all nice. I like that. If you go through your Bible to, let's see, we'll go across to Matthew 11. Let's see, about there I think it is. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 20. "Then began he to upbraid the cities where most of his mighty works were done, because they repented not." The first ministry that he held, from that time, he began to preach, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent." And then, after some time, we find they did not repent. Okay, they didn't repent. What else do we find as a consequence of not repenting? Well, look at Matthew 12, verse 18. "Behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles." When Israel starts to rebel and will not repent, suddenly we get a prophetic ministry to the Gentiles. "He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust." Gentiles. Gentile ministry. Prophesy. When Israel does not repent, then comes a prophesied ministry to the Gentiles. That's interesting. Let's go across again to Matthew 13. I mean, I'm just giving you a real quick one. When we need to come back here and revisit this when we do some of the ABCs. And we need to sort of look at this more carefully. But to get the highlights now, look at Matthew 13:1. "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside." Went out of the house. Out of the house. No big deal. He just comes out of the house, right? Wrong. There is going to be seen an outer teaching and an inner teaching. Here's the outer one. "Great multitudes gathered together." And verse 3, "And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying," and off goes these parables. These are just little bedtime stories, right? For kiddies. Wrong again. Look down here at verse 10. "And the disciples came and said unto him, 'Why? Why speakest thou unto them in parables?'" Parables.
Alongside. Alongside. Bole. From the word ballo. To throw. To throw alongside. To throw alongside. Parable. Something thrown alongside. Okay, and he says this in verse number 11. "He answered and said unto them, 'Because.'" Now remember the history. He's gone preaching, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, repent, repent, and they would not repent. Now, what does he do? He starts to introduce parables. Things thrown alongside. Not direct, they're not direct, they're alongside. "Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." It's not given to them now. Wow.
So these secret purposes here, the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, now are being only opened up to a select few, and the others are being blinded. They will not be given this. After all, he'd given them opportunity to repent, and they would not repent. And there is a statement of help, verse 14. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart, who is this people? Israel! Is wax gross. They've got heart problems. Heart disease. And the ears are dull of hearing. And so it goes on. Health problems coming to Israel. Okay, great. You see all that going on. Now look down here in the same chapter. And verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away. We won't go through these parables. Hopefully when we do the ABCs we will. But for now, let's just see the highlights. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. Went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered. Now he's going to explain, give the inner teaching about these parables. And he's explaining it only to those to whom it was given. There is an outer teaching and there is an inner teaching. Outside the house, inside the house. It's in the Bible. There it is. Something remarkable. Now look at Matthew 16 and verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the old. From that time forth. Another time period. And where does this time period occur? It occurs after the fact that Israel would not repent. It comes after that he introduced the parables. It comes after that passage from Isaiah of sickness to do with Israel's spiritual health. Now he says, from that time forth began Jesus showing his disciples how he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. There it is. I have just called this the DBR. The DBR. Death, burial, and resurrection. He explains this to them. Well, that's good, isn't it? That's good that he's doing that. Because if you come over here, look at this. Follow the logic. Now we're going to come up with some logic. There's going to be some logic that's going to come down shortly. And from this is going to be some teaching that will show and prove that Christianity, as it is right now, is thoroughly deceived. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Now this is 1 Corinthians. This is one of Paul's epistles written during the time of the book of Acts. It's an Acts period epistle. And he says this, which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. If you don't have this in your memory, that is, you don't know these things, then of course salvation is not there for you. You don't have it. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. According to 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, the gospel that saves, according to Paul, is the death, burial, and resurrection. That's it. That's what he's preaching. Now, here comes the problem. Watch this. Now, that's over here. We found out over in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, in the Acts. Now what we're going to do now is we're going to go back, which is what people try to do all the time. Let's now go back and see what's said about the gospel. Okay, let's find Luke 9. Luke in chapter number 9. Sounds like someone giving a homily, you know. Luke in chapter number 9. All right.
Luke and chapter number 9. And let me find the verse. It is verse 1. We'll read from there. I think it's probably our best choice. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. Of course, we've all got that power, right? Yeah. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. We're always healing the sick. You know, we can just go out to Derek's place and we can just sort of lay our hands on Derek. And, no problem. And he said unto them, take nothing for your journey, neither staves, nor scrip, neither bread, neither money, neither have two coats apiece. And whatsoever house ye enter into, there abide and thence depart, and whosoever will not receive you when ye go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet, for a testimony against them. And they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. They did this, you know. Don't try and spiritualize it and say, oh, they had the right idea. You know. No, they did it. Now let's go 9 chapters over to chapter 18. Now watch this. They're preaching the gospel. They did it. Now watch this. Luke 18, 31. Now, keep in your mind 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. Keep it there, okay? So, that's one of the things you've got to do. You've got to keep pages open. Foot here, foot there, hand there, you know. And off we go. 31, here it comes. Then he took unto him the twelve, and said unto them, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man shall be accomplished. For he shall be delivered unto the Gentiles, and shall be mocked, and spitefully entreated, and spit on him. And they shall scourge him, and put him to death, and the third day he shall rise again. Now, the burial is not there explicitly, but implicitly it's there. So you've got the death, burial, and resurrection there, right? And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, that's the gospel by which you're saved, right? Oh, we know that these disciples back in Luke 9, they were preaching a gospel. They went everywhere and did it. Verse 34. And they, that's the disciples, the 12, and they understood all of these things? No. And they understood none of these things. And this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken. Oh, wait a minute. So, our preacher who wants to tell us that the gospel that he is proclaiming now, which is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, oh, that's what the disciples were preaching back here. No, they were not. They were not preaching that gospel back here in Luke 9, right up to chapter 18. Looks like the Bible's a little bit more tricky than you want to make out. The Bible is not a buffet meal. Oh, let's see, what am I going to get today? Tomatoes. I'd like to have some of those. Yeah, how about some of that meat there, some corn salad? Yeah, we need to have that and that. No, I don't like that. I'll leave that. I like this over here. Oh, that looks tasty. Yeah. No, I had that last time, got sick. Don't want that. Buffet meals, you choose what you want, right? Well, my friends, that is not the way you should handle the word of truth. What you need to do is understand the ministry that's going. There is a progression of doctrine here. These things were progressively revealed, and you cannot go back and take what you want. What you need to do is you need to say, Lord, I need that gift that Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 1. I need it, and I need it now. And pray carefully and study diligently and come to understand the fact that it's to Paul the prisoner that was given the secret. What happened over here? Israel blasphemed. Finally, salvation of God is sent to the Gentiles. And what happens when Israel says no? God introduces a mystery. The difference here is that it's not just a mystery of the kingdom.
It is the mystery which was untold before, hid from ages. I'm going to just finish off with this here. Look at this. Follow me to Colossians. And when we go to Colossians, we are leaving Paul. P-little-a-u-l. We're leaving him behind. And we're now coming to this guy. He is Paul the prisoner. And in Colossians, this is what he says. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians chapter number 1 and verse 24. Verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister, who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ. Fill up that which is lacking of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. Paul is now suffering to bring forward a ministry of Christ. Christ's sufferings, which have been left off, and it takes someone else to complete those sufferings. Sufferings not for our sins, but sufferings to bring forth this faithful deposit. And he says, whereof I am made a minister, verse 25, according to the dispensation of God, dispensation, this economy, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. There are two filling ups here, two of them. In verse 24, fill up that which is behind the afflictions, all those afflictions of bringing forth the truth for the church were taken up by Paul. That's that filling. Then there's another one. It's this filling in verse 25. And it says, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery. And this mystery, as he says, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest. This is the mystery that he passes on to us. You want to know how to live in this age, my friend? You want to know what you should be doing today? Then you need to come to Paul the prisoner and get this. He suffered to bring forth knowledge that we could be perfected. Northside Bible Church, what's Northside about, really? It's all about adjusting people. It's about bringing people in and showing them the perfection of the Scriptures. If you don't have this truth, the mystery, you do not have a completed Bible. You don't. Unless you understand right division of the Scriptures, you're in trouble. You're in serious trouble. Well, here's my little beginning to the ABCs of right division. And I hope you've got something from it. You enjoyed it. I always enjoy it. And I'm looking forward to bringing this. And hopefully we can have even a few more props. I've got an easel and I got some paper and some chalk, and we can do some stuff like that. And we may even be able to record it on a video if we can get organized. And that would be quite good. Let us pray. Our God and Father, we thank Thee today for this ministry that's here. We thank Thee we can learn from Thy Word, which is preserved, it's holy, it's kept for us, and that we receive it, the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually works in us who believe. And in Christ's name we pray, amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.